All right, everyone. We're certainly glad you're here. It's Friday. It's Friday the 13th, 2012. The weekend is ahead of us. But hey, we got a great day. God's given us life. And so there's meaning and purpose in store for us today, ways to draw closer to Him, to assist mankind, to serve, and to hopefully encourage somebody and point them toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And with me in the studio is somebody that's done that for a number of years. Kevin, I think I've known you for, I'd say, about 24, 25 years, I think, probably when I first came down to the greater Champaign-Urbana area in 1988. You might have been even attending, you and Betsy, Twin City Bible Church. How far back does our relationship go?
It's about 1990.
Okay, 1990. Yeah. So 21, 22, 20 so years. This is what goes on many times on Wednesdays when I have Jason Schiffo in the studio. Kevin and I have been recounting God-citing stories from our past, and this has been going on for about the last hour, hour and a half, the different ways the Lord has intersected our lives through radio events, through Sunday school class. You were part of that original home builders group where we had a number of real lively couples, and I think we talked about some of those couples for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then recently I had Kevin here in the studio and we had an hour-long conversation with his co-author, Don Rich, who will be at the meet and greet this coming Tuesday at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign. And Don Rich was a World War II veteran. And you're going to hear that interview probably Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We had an hour's worth of conversation about their new book, Glider Infantrymen, Behind Enemy Lines in World War II. And we're going to talk maybe a little about that today, but that'll be a little sneak preview for Monday, Tuesday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when we have Don on the phone. And I had Kevin come in the studio recently to co-host the program because, Kevin, you helped write this book, and you were the catalyst behind wanting to record some of the history that's being lost. Many of our younger generation, we don't know many of the stories of World War II. They're becoming dated or just not taught in schools. So we're going to talk a little about why you wrote the book and a little of your story. So give a little introduction and shout out. You have six children. That's kind of a neat family story where you and Betsy have adopted a few of your children. A couple are grown. You have a master's in ag education. You've worked at the U of I for a number of years till just recently they kind of put a kibosh on that whole department and eliminated all the work that you and 60 others did as part of the U of I farm management educator team or something. What was that?
Yeah, I was a part of the farm management team, which there were four of us on that, and with extension and what we consider commercial agriculture, they eliminated 60 out of the 65 positions with U of I Extension.
So currently you're doing some farm consulting, some contract work, are you helping farmers, you know, optimize their yields? What are all the things that you're doing? You were telling me a whole list of different things that you can consult and help farmers with, and I know we have a lot of great farmers in our area that tune in.
Yeah, I work on the business management side and also commodities marketing, and I'm currently teaching a private class online called Grain Marketing Boot Camp from a series that I wrote on the basics on how to market grain for farmers or landowners as well, and also do a series on helping landowners who are generationally removed from the farm to have a better understanding of how to deal with farmers and what to expect and help them to improve their investment in land.
Mm-hmm. So if a farmer is saying, sounds interesting, do you meet with individuals? How would a farmer utilize your skills or your expertise or your consulting work?
It's through a variety of ways. A lot of it is done online through email and also through teaching online classes, but I also do one-on-one consulting.
And how do people get a hold of you? Do they just call you up? Is there like a billboard somewhere they drive by and say, oh, there's Kevin. I just heard him on the radio.
My family, with the help of my son Michael, we put together a website, and it's bksolutionsonline.com.
Okay, a little slower. What is it?
BK, okay. B as in boy, K as in Kevin, solutions with an S, online.com.
BKSolutionsOnline.com. Okay, yes. So great. If some of our farmers are interested in knowing a little more about your work and your life. And so that's what we're going to talk about before we get into the book, Glider Infantrymen, because we did spend an hour on the phone with Don Rich, and that interview will be captured over Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this next week, but I'm glad that Don's going to be driving in from Ohio with his daughter, and you're going to be available this coming Tuesday for our meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant. So I'm hoping we'll pique your interest today, and if you can tune in again on Monday and Tuesday, you're going to hear all about the book, Glider Infantrymen Behind Enemy Lines in World War II. And from 4:30 to 6:30, everyone that comes out, there'll be a discounted Olive Garden meal. So we've been talking about that, the great time of fellowship and fun and food and just the breaking of bread and all the testimonies that can be shared and God-honoring conversations. So if you can come out on Tuesday night, April 17th, to the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign, Kevin will be there. Kevin's in the studio with me now. Author and World War II veteran Don Rich will be there. Bill McLean's going to set up a World War II display. He'll have a table of a number of artifacts and medals, and he'll be all dressed up, he and Tall Girl. So it'll be fun to come and see them. And then author Heijin Lee Burton, who was on yesterday's program, we talked about her book, The Girl with a Lotus in Her Hair, and she's a Korean War bride, and we talked about her story of love, of survival, the great courage she showed with all the different things, the situations where she was involved that were dangerous, and the isolation and loneliness and the rejection she felt as a young girl growing up where the Japanese occupied Korea, and then the Korean War came, and the North invaded the South, and all the trauma being a witness to all that carnage. So Heijin will be a part of our meet and greet this coming Tuesday. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast or you came in and just started joining us today, all this will be archived at greatnewsradio.org. Well, Kevin, as I mentioned, I've known you for 20 or so years, you and Betsy. We attended the same church together for a few years, but then there's been a period of time where we both got busy, went different directions, and haven't met up till I learned of this book. I think I saw this at the Muhammad IGA. I said, Kevin Brooks, I know him, and somehow we connected, and I said, oh, we need to have you in. So before we talk about glider infantrymen, give us a little of your background story, because yesterday we referenced PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's something that you're familiar with, and Don even talks about it, and we'll recount that in Monday and Tuesday's program. But a little of your background, I think, might be helpful for people to know how God's been working in and through you, bringing healing and change, and even the influence that writing this book, Glider Infantrymen, had on your life.
Okay. Yeah, it's not something that's always necessarily an easy thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. But Don and I actually come from the same small farm town in the state of Iowa. Don was a good friend of my dad's when he was growing up. The farm town, probably not atypical of a lot of towns, it might be a little bit different, is that about half the population is of a Mennonite background with mm-hmm. the Anabaptists. Where I'm going to lead into this with the book, Glider Infantrymen kind of goes into a personal journey that I was on in finding out that I do suffer with post-traumatic stress disorder, not combat-related like Don, but it is real, and I'm here today to talk a little bit mm-hmm. about that. Referring back to the book a little bit is that God is constantly working in all of our lives. We all go through changes, and even at 85 years old, Don is now 88. But when he was 85 years old, Don had a one-on-one encounter with God in a Mennonite cemetery, and he'd been carrying a grudge for 65 years over issues related to being in a situation to where one of his squad members was severely wounded and they couldn't get to him. It's just like a scene out of The Band of Brothers, for those of you that have seen that, when a guy goes down and they can't get to him because of the German fire. It was the same way. And the Germans allowed him to sit out there and suffer for many hours. And Don wanted to go get this guy, and he couldn't because it was too dangerous, and he was ordered not to, and they wouldn't let a medic go in there because they didn't have enough. And he'd been carrying around a grudge for all these years because they didn't have enough medics, and was upset that he thought a lot of the Anabaptists could have done that. But in that encounter with God in the cemetery, you know, he realized that his favorite teacher from high school was a Mennonite and was Anabaptist and different things, and God dealt with him with mm-hmm. a grudge that he'd been carrying for years. Some of the best men from life that he knew were local Mennonites and such, and so God still deals with us after many, many years, and that's one of the things that encourages me is that Don has quite a few years on me, mm-hmm. and it's just nice to see that God does work in the lives of people even as they get older. But going back to the post-traumatic stress disorder, okay, when I started writing the book. I was aware of post-traumatic stress disorder, but I didn't pay that much attention to it. I knew a lot of combat veterans mm-hmm. that had it, and Don relates a story. When he first got home, when he went to walk inside of his house, when he first got there, he ducked inside the house. He was constantly aware of his surroundings, and hypervigilant is a word that, some words that kind of describe post-traumatic stress disorder. A while later, he was at the State Fair in Des Moines, Iowa, and a car backfired, and he hit the ground, and afterwards just had an emotional breakdown from that. But relating back to my journey with post-traumatic stress disorder, I can remember several times. One, as I was writing the book, as Don was giving me the accounts, I knew that God had gifted me with an ability to put myself in his situation and in life and death situations and such, even though I've never been in combat and I don't pretend to be. But it became very real to me as I was writing. I thought, you know, there's something here, and I'm not sure what it was. And then several years later, I was getting something out of the laundry room, and I was reaching up above the washer and dryer. And as I was reaching up, my wife put her hand in the middle of my back, and I just remember having this reaction. You know, Betsy didn't have any idea that anything was going on inside of my mind, but in my mind, it took me back to being back as a teenager and being severely bullied. Actually, they were physical assaults, and by definition today would land people in trouble with the law that were perpetrating this and stuff. But I knew then that I needed to get help and went through some processes and different things and trying to get help for that. Started the what I call bullying on steroids, started back in sixth grade. We had a sixth through ninth grade junior high. I don't exactly remember how it happened, but there were several of us that it happened to, but I can remember being picked up, and I was literally dangled by my feet over the balcony above the gymnasium concrete floor, and actually they would let go and grab me before I went down in different things, and it digressed from there. And to make a long story short, I ended up with a concussion from the ordeal. Two of the other guys that had received a lot of the bullying, one of them had to go see the doctor because he had some ribs messed up and different things. And these were ninth graders inflicting bullying, physical assaults on sixth graders is what it was. And I look back, and a lot of people have the idea that people who are bullied, kids that are bullied and stuff, are the shy ones or those who are maybe somewhat socially misfit and different things. But I try and look back, and the other two guys in that episode that were victims in this, all three of us actually were pretty outgoing kids, and we were all pretty athletic. I was the youngest guy in my class, and the other kid was also one of the younger ones, but the other one was one of the older ones, so I tried to make a connection. The only thing that really we had in common was, outside of the fact that we were all relatively outgoing and athletic and well-known kids in the communities, the only other thing would be is that we all had older sisters in that ninth grade class. I don't know how much that had to do with it and different things, but that was one thing. And it continued on throughout sixth and seventh grade year. Ended up with actually broken teeth. Sometimes the assaults would happen in the hallway. You never knew when it was coming, because I don't want to pretend that, I don't want to say that it was all myself, because it wasn't. But you never knew exactly when to expect it. It continued on. Actually, my eighth and ninth grade years didn't happen much because the older kids were gone. Because they were in high school, and when I got into high school from 10th to 11th and 12th grade, it continued as well. Ended up in a couple of physical assaults, getting a deep thigh bruise, broken eardrum, a back injury, actually a permanent back injury from that and different things. And I can still remember the time when it actually stopped. Of course, my senior year, that it didn't take place at all. But I guess, you know, one of the things that I would say is that, contrary to a lot of, from what I've read, a lot of popular material out there is that, well, number one, for those of us that it happened to in this school, most of us were not what you would figure. We were pretty outgoing. We were well-liked in the community, well-known. We were younger. We couldn't really defend ourselves against older kids quite very well. The other thing is that there's this idea that people that are bullying other people are suffering from insecurity and being insecure themselves. But looking back, the guys that were doing this and doing the bullying were the better athletes. They were, a lot of them, the more popular kids in school. A lot of times they were showing off in front of girls in their class and different things like that. So it was a little bit different than what you'd expect. But also, you go back to World War II, which with Hitler and stuff is kind of the ultimate bullying. And my take on that is that a lot of what happened was because the people who were doing the bullying, in that case World War II with Hitler and stuff, these people had a superior opinion of themselves.
Like the SS.
And thinking that they were better than those who were their victims and different things like that. So I come at it from a little bit different angle than what a lot of experts talk about in terms of bullying and things.
Mm. Now, with writing this book, Glider Infantrymen, did it scratch at a scar, or like did some of those emotions from your past and some of the abuse that you had to deal with, did it just like surface and rear its ugly head up, if you will? And then did you have to start dealing with some of maybe unresolved issues, or were you able to work through some of that in your teenage years, high school years?
With post-traumatic stress disorder, some people go through trauma and don't end up with it because they've, with help and different things, process things mm-hmm. correctly. So I would say if you know somebody has had a traumatic event involving physical violence or seeing it or experiencing themselves, getting help, I think, is the main thing, because it's how the brain processes things and actually, from what I can understand, changes the brain process. But yeah, I definitely have brought up a lot of things along the way. It can be something you're reading, something I'm hearing about even from Dawn. It could be, I call them PTSD. Moments. Some people think that PTSD involves fear, and it's not really fear, it's a reaction. Sometimes the fear shows up in being just the opposite, not afraid, and maybe overreacting in certain situations. And I can remember being somewhat agitated on one day, and I went to the doctor's office to get an allergy shot. And I've been working on the book and different things, and it was bothersome to me. And I went to get the allergy shot, and the nurse that was giving me the shot wasn't in a particularly good mood that day. And there was something about her language and the expression. And when she came out with me with a needle, I can remember thinking, whoa, you know, danger here. And you do have those strong reactions. Most of the time, people would never know, but inside you know quite well. Mm-hmm. It's very worrying because a person with PTSD is very hypervigilant. Constantly surveying the surroundings and things, and it shows up in different aspects of your life. And I can remember one time with my master's degree in education, I was directing an ag program at a community college, and my boss and I, my supervisor and I, the dean, went to go see the CEO of a major company in the area. This is a very large company, and the guy was quite belligerent, being arrogant and different things. And I can remember having a reaction then, and I just walked out of there. And you know, we were needing funding for the program and help for getting students and different things. It was a small program, and I just remember the guy being aggressive and assertive, and I just remember telling my boss, okay, I'm done. Find somebody else to do this. And I absolutely love the job, and it just creates reactions to where you're in a position, and I wouldn't say it's necessarily fear, but you in your mind you're recognizing danger, and so you do things to put yourself out of that.
Wow, I think you're really helping me understand and maybe even better empathize or not label or stereotype a reaction that somebody's having, because I might not know what their past was all about or why they're responding, because they could be responding because they've had a singular huge issue in their past that's even influencing them right there and then. And I'm like, oh, that's why they're acting so strongly or withdrawing or whatever. But I think this is a good topic because there's probably a lot of people that might not even recognize they're dealing with this issue in their own lives. Maybe something has happened in their past and they find themselves responding in a certain way, but they don't know why something, that emotion is being triggered or they're withdrawing or whatever they're doing. And it's because something that they've not resolved in the past. So I guess I want to ask, just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean that this just went away or this was just dealt with. As a Christian, you're still dealing with this issue of the post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, triggers can come up at any time. Over the years, through the grace of God, I've learned more how to control those and recognize those, so it's very, very helpful. I get some questions about, how do I know if my child is going through bullying and different things like that. Again, this was bullying, but, it also involved physical assault, which oftentimes it can get to. I think teachers and schools are much more aware of it today than what they used to be. But it would be kind of hard because I grew up in the time period of the latchkey kids. But, my parents were involved in their own lives and weren't really attuned as much as I think parents are today in terms of what their kids are doing and things. But there wouldn't have been a lot of recognition in terms of signs because wouldn't have changed much on the outside for them to know what was going on. It was embarrassing. It was hard to talk to. If I had some advice, though, with parents, if your kids aren't bringing that up or talking to them, the idea of letting them fend for themselves and different things, I'm not a real big believer in that because I was a sixth grader and the youngest in my class and dealing with boys who were doing this that were much older. There wasn't much way that I really could have learned I couldn't have really learned through the process of how to alleviate that. And it wasn't anything that I could remember. And I honestly do an assessment and try to figure out what did I do, what could I have done differently. But it's hard to work it out on your own. I hear a lot of parents saying, the kids have to work out on it. But when you're talking about a situation where somebody has power and you don't, it's really hard. So I guess I would intervene and talk to authorities and make sure that the schools or those in authority are doing something about it. In my case, I can tell you that in a lot of the circumstances, the teachers and the administrators were aware of what was going on. But at that period of time, they really didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, I'm so grateful you're here in the studio again. Recently you were here, and we had about an hour-long conversation with Don Rich, who's going to be featured on Monday and Tuesday, and you will be joining him this Tuesday at our Olive Garden meet and greet. You'll have a number of copies of Glider Infantrymen Behind Enemy Lines in World War II available for sale, and you and Don will sign copies. You're a co-author on this. I know you put your heart and soul into this, and thank you, God, for Texas A&M University Press that allowed this God-honoring memoir. It contains his Christian beliefs and the story as recounted by you and Don on how God was at work, and I think people recognize that quickly with our interview coming on Monday and Tuesday about this book. But thank you for also sharing just some of the things that people go through when they've been bullied, or some of the stress or the trauma that can take many years to work through or sort out, and just maybe some of the things that we can be mindful to look towards in somebody if they're withdrawing, or if they're being quiet, or if they're not wanting to go to school, or if they're overreacting, and you're like, what's triggering that? What would be maybe one or two questions that would be good questions to ask our children, or maybe an adult that's seemingly overreacting?
I guess with the kids, just being involved in their lives, which, you know, most parents, many parents today are involved in their kids' lives. We get to know the teachers. Ask teachers questions are some of the things that I would do. And just ask your kids how things are going. And they may not tell you directly, but they may allude to it in a story or something like that. As far as overreacting and different things like that, I think when somebody is going through what I call the PTSD moment, confronting them right on the spot probably isn't the best thing to do. They're reacting to a situation, but later on to say, hey, you know, I noticed this, and they may not know what's causing that, and being a friend and talking about it and sharing experiences and talk.
Mm. Well, thank you, Kevin, for coming into the studio, and I look forward to having you showcase your new book with co-author Don Rich, Glider Infantrymen Behind Enemy Lines in World War II. Copies will be available at our meet and greet at the Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign. That'll be coming up this Tuesday, April 17th, between the hours of 4:30 and 6:30. And if somebody can't make it to the meet and greet, how can they purchase copies of this book?
Okay, there are several ways to do it. One, you can get it online. Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. Or Barnes & Noble does have a few copies in the Champaign store. You can also go to our website for the book. It's www.gliderman.com. And you can order signed copies there. If you go through Amazon and other places, they're not going to be signed, but through our website they are. And you can also still get copies at the Muhammad IGA.
Right there at the checkouts. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night. Oh, and by the way, Chris Thompson was our Olive Garden $25 gift card winner from our last Tuesday meet and greet. So congratulations, Chris. She lives with her husband, Bill, in Paxton. So one more reason to come out this coming Tuesday for our meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Come visit, come get blessed, and have a great time of fun, food, and fellowship. Have a great weekend, everyone.